But they're not growing on trees, just anywhere, pluck.
True.
Pluck.
Plucks. Yes. That's what.
Okay.
Pluck.
Right off the tree, man. Come on, pluck.
I get it.
I know you do.
Talkin' Audio.
It's graceful and beautiful and physical and angry all at the same time.
Were you to hear it, your mind would cave in and your heart would explode within your chest.
This is going to be a shame.
Here we go!
Oh, it's going to be a shame. Another week of Talkin' Audio. Matt Robinson, Rob Christie in the TCA studio in beautiful Bytown, Canada. What's happening, man?
I was going to say, how do you know that I've already taken my pants off over here? It's dark enough here talking about
shame.
Shame.
Yeah. There's shame.
Oh, I went out for brunch before coming.
Yeah.
I just feel like
rocking a sweet bloat.
maybe a kilt would be better today. Maybe is really where I'm going. All right, it cinches up a little higher.
Yeah.
You're good to go.
Let everything breathe a little bit.
Yeah, that's it, man. Although when you have 8 yards of wool.
Yeah, and way less than 8 yards of everything else.
It can be, well, that pleated wool, way man, less. And it's just, it is hot.
Yeah.
So,
how many occasions have you busted out the kilt for? I think it made the trip to Kitchener.
Yep.
For the Hall of Fame. I know it made the trip to your brother's wedding.
My wedding?
Your wedding?
I've probably worn the kilt a dozen times.
Yeah.
A dozen times. Family gatherings.
Right.
The odd caber toss.
Sure.
You know, as you do. Yeah. But yeah, that's about it.
Right.
I now have two.
Mm.
I have mine and I have my dad's. My dad has got to a point where he's like, yeah, I don't want this anymore.
I'm probably not going to wear this again.
Yeah. You're like, really, Dad? What are you doing? Like, and he has the...
Got a lot of veins showing and a lot of...
Well, you got the hose. Veins. How many, man?
Not the main vein, but...
just the one. You're wearing... You got your kilt hose and all that, and your sporran is keeping that all down under control.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so probably 12 times, but I have two now, so...
Yeah.
My son may get one if he's... He plays his cards right.
Sure. Let's have a beer.
Beer. Yes, beer is over here.
What have you? I don't know what that was. have you got there?
It's delicious. Mm-hmm. I am drinking the Moulet, the mullet.
Mole.
Yeah. Drinking local today. This is a little beyond the pale. Mm. The mullet Belgian IPA. It's actually a Belgian double IPA, comes in at 6.5%. I'll be interested. The Belgian to me means it's.
I'm not sure. I might have one or two of those in my fridge, or maybe one less than I did.
I know. I brought this myself. Yeah, this is a gift from the birthday boy. LSG celebrating a birthday today. He brought this over. Said he loved it. Mm. I'm because it's Belgian. I'm anticipating there to be a higher than acceptable yeast content to it. So
okay.
The Belgians, whether it's your Saisons, your Hefeweizens, all those kinds of things, they tend to be yeast forward. So
yeah,
I am coming in at 6.5%. I'm going to give this a poll. What do you got over there?
This is, I don't know, man. This is heady stock I got here. This is the old number 8 honey lager from the Rideau View Golf Course and Big Rig Brewery. Managed to lay hands on this, you know, some people,
yep.
Somebody dropped something off a little bit.
And, does, know, I'm still waiting for the 17, but whatever.
Yeah. I thought we tried the 17 when CJ was in the one time.
No, CJ promised it the first time he was in.
Oh, he didn't bring it. He didn't bring it.
I think he may have got you some at some point.
For sure. And Bunda brought some at one point on his behalf. No, I think when CJ came in, now that you mention it, I think he had the sun split. I think he brought some of his own IP. No.
In
and we're going back like pre-pandemic.
Yeah,
here.
In honor of CJ coming, I went over to Bicycle.
Mm.
And I know CJ loves the IPAs from
yes.
there. So I had brought 3 or 4 different types.
Okay.
So
the Velocipede was one.
And exactly. And if you recall, I was having one. He was having the Velocipede, I believe. And we went to break for a pint halfway through. And he's like, no, I'm still just nursing this one. And I'm like, how is that? And he's like, pretty good. You want to try it? And I'm like,
not really. Thanks, though.
Thanks for the offer, man.
Thanks, guy I'm meeting for the first time.
Yeah, but you know what? That's the kind, generous soul that is Chris Stevenson.
He has traded a couple messages with me here not too long about coming in again, and he said, you know, maybe around the time the Leafs are eliminated from the playoffs, so we're like 2 weeks out.
Yeah, right on. See you next week. Yeah.
Not quite next week. Next week.
We'll in be, three yeah. games.
Right. We'll see how that all goes. So anyway, this is the newer of the two that they do over there at Rideau-View, I believe. I think the other one, the 17 was the OG.
Right. It's the original. Yeah. The hops were growing out there on the 17th.
Right. This is the Honey Lager, the old number 8, it's called. And so I don't know the, I tried to look it up. It wasn't there on the Untappd, like what the story is behind this one, if it's as much of it is grown on hand or whatever, but
right.
We'll see as we go. So that's from Big Rig and Rideau-View, kind of a partnership they do once a year, twice a year, whatever it might be. It's just 4.7%, so that's where we'll start things off today. It seems like Rob will be out ahead of me here on a few things.
Yeah, yeah.
Running strong with the 6.7 over there. But
yeah, and so to me, I'm not getting it's a little crisp. Mm-hmm. I'm not getting, it doesn't come across as aggressively hopped, but it doesn't also come across, I'm not getting any of that banana clove.
Right.
That you normally get from
a Belgian.
Yeah. From something that's sort of heavy on the yeast. So anyways, it's not bad. It's not bad. It's got room to grow on me. How about that?
Okay. Good to hear.
And that over there, you like a honey though, eh? You do. You like a...
I'm hit and miss. If it's good, I like it.
If it's sweet, it's for you.
That's right, man.
I get that.
This one, it's more subtle. Like, you're getting it. You're getting some of that. I don't know if it's something about that flavor that maybe doesn't burst through. Like if you have a maple ale, it comes through strong. If you have, you know, a couple different, like a coconut, it's going to push through. I wonder if there's something about the honey that is less... forward or less.
Yeah, it's more subtle, as you suggest.
Yeah.
And to me, I think that's, unless you're taking a spoonful of honey, if you blend honey into...
Helps the medicine go down, man.
Yeah, whatever it is, yogurt or whatever you're putting it into.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is a... It's sort of like, hey, I'm just going to mellow out in the back here. And you can enjoy or you can piss off.
The tagline for this show. Yes. So this is good. You get the honey from it, but yeah, it's a little more subtle. So otherwise it's sort of coming across as a kind of a lagerish kind of whatever with a little honey to it. So,
hey, so I checked out a bit of, I haven't gone back to listen to the Arden's Welling show yet.
Oh, you should. Guy knows what's up.
For sure he does. But I enjoyed, Creech and Bunda show.
That was episode 1293, teeing up, well, it's going to be a little stale now, but the vibes are good.
Yeah, and that's where I was going to go, was I think when we talk about what the show looks like, or what you hope the show looks like, to me it's a good vibe, you, Creech and Bunda, the three of you in here.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nice, easy give and take of three people sitting around a table having a beer. So to me... There's enough in there in that show that is not necessarily, especially the beginning, that isn't fight heavy.
Right.
That it is some good conversation, some air quotes, witty banter. But it
as
is
witty as we could be.
Yeah.
We gave it our best shot.
Yeah, no. And so to me it's a good vibe. That's really all I wanted to say. There is no butt coming here.
Right.
So yeah, it's worth a listen.
That was like I said, episode 1292. Wherever you're hearing us right now, we're at tallcanaudio.com. 1293, Arden's Welling offering up his early opinions on the Blue Jays. And before that, 1291, Brandon Mackey from OSEG was in here, sort of somehow accidentally stacked two OSEG shows on top of each other. Talked to him about the Pens playoff chase and whether or not Sens fans, maybe I'll float this to you here in a minute.
Yeah, my name is Rob Christie. I'm a Sens fan, and I am an unabashed Sidney Crosby supporter and admirer.
Yeah. And I had sort of asked him, like, are they a rival? Like, when you look at all the teams trying to bust in here to that low end, are Sens fans able to get behind? You know, the example I used was, like, the Pens for the first, 10 years of their, what would you call this? Like, this new generation.
The Crosby era?
Yeah. were just dummying the Leafs over and over. The Leafs were terrible. The Pens were very good. And actually, there was a big, almost like when Montreal would come to town, you would see at Toronto games, Pens jerseys, because we were also entering the era of being able to watch online and kids being like, the Leafs are awful. Uh-huh. I'll watch Ovechkin or I'll watch Crosby. Yeah. Or whereas at that point, you guys were seeing them in the playoffs.
Five times.
Yeah, like reasonably often.
And losing 80% of the time.
Yeah, and most recently, you know, the 2017 one, and that's going to sting. So, you know, Mackie and I had a bit of a conversation about whether or not a Sens fan, is at least from his perspective, is able to turn around and go, yeah, I don't really love Torts, or yeah, I don't really love Ovechkin, or yeah, like, not big on the Isles, like, whether you're able to get on board with the Pens?
See, I am, although not this year.
Okay.
And I don't like Malkin.
Is it Dubas?
It's Dubas and Spezza. Spezza, turncoat bitch. Sorry, Spezza.
Yeah.
It's Carlson.
Oh, okay.
I don't want to see Carlson have any success. I really don't.
So you welcome him back home this summer, where he'll surely have none.
Nope. Although we certainly will have a come to Jesus moment when, if and when that happens. Yeah. I am lobbying hard for that. That's not the right shot guy.
Right.
We need on the back end.
It's not.
So no, thank you. And really, that's what it is. I just think, you know, that conversation that Carlson and when he and Spezza met, and they're like, yeah, finally we're with the good guys.
Right.
And you're like, psh, double guns.
Well, so, you know, as you and I sit here, you know, this is going to move a couple of times before the playoffs are set. There's five teams pushing for two spots, right? You got your Islanders, Flyers, Red Wings, Penguins, Capitals.
See, I think
two are getting in, three are missing.
Yeah, I think the Isles are in.
Who do you want in? Isles look to be in.
Who do I want in?
Yeah.
None.
Nah, okay. You're going to have to pick two. Two are getting in. Who will you tolerate and who do you want to see?
Isles, I am largely indifferent to.
Okay.
Right? They don't really move the needle. Lou Lamoriello is a bit of that's one-ply toilet paper kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It's slightly irritating and may put your finger through it. Don't know. There's a bunch of things happening there. So
I'm the same. I don't care for the Islanders.
I do not.
That's a Tavares thing and a Lamoriello thing for me.
Right, and they all jeer Tavares when he comes back.
Yep, that's what I mean.
And,
fuck you, get over it.
Yeah.
You one-ply bitch.
No, he's taking.
I could borrow your
he's
turn.
He's taking the one-ply and he's running with it. Yeah. I don't want to see the Caps get in.
Same. Fuck you, Ovi.
For sure. And I guess I've already stated I don't want to see Carlson really get in.
Right. Now, the Red Wings was supposed to be a team, you know, you guys were going to be wrestling with Sens.
Yep. And to me,
there was that two-game series last year. Yep. Ottawa won both of them.
Who wants it?
Yeah.
6-1, 6-2. It's like a tennis score. 6-1, 6-2.
Who wants it?
You're done.
Shout out Whippersnapper.
Yeah, for sure. To me, they're pretenders anyways, regardless. Like, to me, having
two points off the Leafs. Yeah. Speaking of pretenders.
2 points off the Leafs.
Saturday night, they beat the Leafs.
Oh, yeah, well, that's. Man, the Leafs looked terrible in the first period. That was just, you're like, what are you doing? What's happening?
What are you doing?
Yeah.
For me, I would like to see.
Flyers.
No.
Flyers and Islanders.
Fuck Tours. You dumbass. You're sitting out there. How many different, he's refusing to leave the bench. He's ripping his goalies. He's whatever. And suddenly they go off a cliff. Good for you, man. Great coaching job. Nice. Well done. I want them out. I want Ovechkin out. And I think I'm out of luck on this, but I would prefer the Islanders out. Again, from purely Leaf thing.
Yep.
Get over it with Tavares and Lamoriello.
No, Sports fans don't get over it.
So
who gets over it?
I'd be happy to see the Pens get in, and I'm totally indifferent to the Red Wings. Like, whatever. Get in, get smashed.
Well, having seen the Wings four times head-to-head against Ottawa, Ottawa went 3-1. And to me, there's nothing about Detroit that's impressive.
Do either, out of those five, who's got a chance in round one?
Islanders. Islanders is a team I would get only on the goaltending.
Yeah.
Based on the goaltending.
Yeah, Sorokin could easily
steal you a couple
for 10
games.
Days, get hot and go, psh, you're done. Right.
Then there's poop in the bed. But to me, if I look around at those teams and go, who has the best goalie? It's them.
Yeah, like, to me, Detroit's getting wrecked.
Boy, James Reimer last night.
Philly's getting wrecked.
Caps. Caps are terrible.
Caps are getting wrecked. The Penguins, I think, would get wrecked, but there's some experience there across all their best guys. Do you trust Nedeljkovic? Like, do they end up playing Carolina? No, I guess you're going to get
Rangers.
New York.
Rangers are going to be the top seed.
Yeah.
And so whoever slides in gets the Rangers.
Yeah. No, I think any of them are... like you said, Sorokin could do some damage, but everybody else is probably getting smashed.
Yeah,
fast.
Well, and those the Rangers in the Isles have played twice recently, and they've been spicy.
Well, there's a lot of emotion in those games.
Spicy and competitive, right? Yep. And so...
But they won't play each other, right? Like,
no.
The Isles right now have the third. Yeah,
and now they could still slide down,
sure.
Right?
Yep.
But they're in trouble because they don't have any of the tiebreakers, right?
So no,
they are currently 4 points up on some guys, but they may only have one, maybe two games left.
Yeah,
it's tight there. It's a real schmozzle.
A schmozzle
at the bottom. Yeah,
that's a turtle race.
That's what I'm going with.
It's terrible.
Well, and do you remember a couple years ago when they're like, look at this, the East, it's the new, you know.
The new West.
All top eight teams had 100 points or more. And like, this is the new norm. And you're like, no.
It sways. It always does,
yeah,
right?
You have two games left and you have teams with 87 points still in it.
Well, there was a time there, the Central, right, had the Blackhawks and the Predators and the Blues. And was Colorado in their division at the time? Oh, they weren't any good at the time. But like,
they were in the division, yeah.
But there were times where, like, it just sort of goes back and forth. Even just a couple of years ago, we would talk about Toronto and Tampa and Boston all being killers and going, that division's going to be hell to get out of this year, and we'll maybe get to it in a few minutes. It looks like we're getting Winnipeg, Colorado in round one, and good
maybe
for
with
you.
Winnipeg as the home team.
Could be. But, like, congratulations if you get through it. Here's Dallas. Like, that division right now looks like...
How about Dallas, Vegas? That's where it sits right now as a first-round match, too.
Yeah.
Delish! Yes, please.
There's going to be some good shit in...
Garcon.
In round. Well, and you wonder, right, watching Vancouver and Edmonton trying to chase down that Pacific Division title, and you're like, I don't know, how much do you really care? It's going to be Nashville or LA or, like, are you really busting your ass to...
Yeah, well, and I didn't stick around long enough, but... that to me is it, right now Edmonton's
like McDavid's clearly beat up. Just who cares? Let him sit because this isn't going to be a big enough deal breaker.
It's that 100 assists. Do you want that?
Yeah.
How bad is that?
Yeah, fair enough. You mentioned, I'm actually surprised. This is something I took some blowback on about 10 days ago. And you were in here midweek. And you mentioned LSG. I guess it's his birthday.
Yeah, today, yep.
Okay. Happy birthday to that guy.
Yeah.
And you had brought up that he had said that our audio is often better than most. And the blowback that I took or the feedback that I got was that I was being a little smug about that.
Now, LSG was saying the other day, just in an aside here, he was saying...
I'll crack my beer and get to that in a minute.
I listen to a lot of podcasts, and he's saying, you know what? Without fail, Tall Can has the best audio sound.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, but anyways, all right.
We work hard at that.
Matt's indifferent.
Not indifferent, just not surprised.
Okay, but that to me is what you're doing?
Well... Yeah, what we're doing here is trying to make it sound pretty good. And one of the worst things that the pandemic brought, you know, besides all the death and pain and heartache, was this idea that Sportsnet's like, oh, the world's back to normal now, but it's okay if we bring Elliot Friedman on by a FaceTime. And I listened back. It's not an unfair criticism.
Yeah, so I said to you at the time, I'm like, Matt doesn't care.
And it wasn't that I didn't care. It was, now it's absolutely came off that way. Like I said, I went and listened back to it, and I moved it on to making that about Sportsnet, and please stop doing FaceTime calls on your national broadcasts and things like that. And the blowback that I took was sort of coming at it from both ends. And so I wanted to take a second here to address this. You and I started this show on a dining room table with a $69 USB microphone in not a particularly nice apartment. And the sound quality reflected that. It was brutal.
The takes were solid.
The takes have always been solid. You and Nate just threatening to... That could have boiled over at any moment. Nate Sager, good for that guy for helping us out early on. But one thing I've always said on the couple times that I've been asked for my opinion on starting a show like this, or not necessarily even like this, but starting a podcast of your own, is don't spend money until you're sure you're going to stick with it. Get up and going. See if you enjoy it. See if it's something you want to keep doing. And go from there. And the blowback I got, perhaps fairly, was that, like, I was suggesting our audio is great and it all should be. You're like, well, I think there's a bit of a sliding scale or two scales. The worse your audio is, the better your takes better be, right? Like, the better quality your show must be. I in 2024, myself, don't have a lot of time to listen to Sportsnet personalities or TSN personalities or well-funded podcasts that aren't independent. Just throw their fucking Bluetooth headphones in and make it sound like a Bluetooth phone call.
Right.
I'm not listening to that. But you have to be really good to get me to want to sit through that. But that's not my expectation on somebody who's just starting. Don't go and what we've built up here over these years. It didn't look like this at the beginning. It did not sound like this at the beginning.
There were couch cushions on
there. There were stacked up on both sides of us because we had this shit USB microphone. Like, we'll stack the backrests and couch cushions up on either side of us because it would keep the reflection down. It would keep the echo and the reverb down in the apartment.
And if we drank enough, it also cushioned the fall.
And we did. We always drank enough. That was rarely a concern. So, I brushed that off. Because I know at this point our sound quality is good, and that's something we've worked at and we've built up over the years. I'm not suggesting, if you're just starting, that it has to sound like that. But I am, and that's why it made sense in my head. I don't think it did to the listener, and that's why I took a bit of a beating on this, was that I moved to, there are billion-dollar corporations thinking they can...
That don't sound as good as us.
Right. They have bigger personalities, if better, you know, distribution, things like that. But
they have better distribution.
You can't serve me that and expect me to want to listen to. And that started during the pandemic, right? We were all sitting at home and they were trying to keep, like, remember Tim and Sid was doing their show out of the basement. And so at the time, you're just like, I get it. This is the world we live in right now. And you have these major companies that have decided coming out of, oh, well, if they were willing to tolerate it then, we'll just stick with it and not put any effort into it. That bugs me.
We're going to save a couple of dimes.
Right.
A couple thin dimes.
Bugs me, man. So that was the point I was trying to make and I guess skipped over entirely making at the time. I appreciate that people acknowledge that this show sounds pretty good. We've worked hard at that. But I was... sort of like, if you've been doing it this long, it probably should sound like this.
Right. And how I took it was, before we put this to bed, was Matt does not like a lot of the spotlight pushed onto him. And he was just sort of shrugging it off and keeping going. That's how I took it.
There is some of that.
Yeah.
There is some of that.
So,
but I do appreciate that the good listener acknowledges the effort you and I are putting into this and getting this out there. So
I thought you were going to say you do acknowledge that the good listener thinks that you're a smug douche.
Well, the good listener won't be far off the mark if that's their impression of me.
Man, that guy's a smug douche. I can live with that. Yeah. Can you be less smug? I'm trying.
How is he this outwardly smug and this inwardly self-loathing? How does that work?
I have no idea where that comes from.
That's it, ma'am.
Okay.
So wanted to address that quickly because, like I said, we took it sort of from multiple directions there saying, like, it's awfully smug that you would think everyone should sound like this out of the chute. I don't. And
this has been 9 years, so
coming up,
we're an overnight success.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Maybe tomorrow night's the night.
I was just going to say, is it the overnight part? Is it the success part?
Right. We'll let the good listener wrestle with that for themselves.
Thank you.
As you and I sit here recording this on Sunday afternoon, you're, well, I was going to start us off. I don't have to do that. I've been the one who's been dodging out of here a couple of times, and you haven't been able to the show as much as you wanted to. You were away the last weekend. Where do you want to start, man? The floor is yours.
Dodging? What are we dodging?
I'm dodging. You, largely.
This is dodgy.
Yeah.
I want to start with the Blue Jays.
The Blue Jays.
Man, the Blue Jays. They are...
As we sit here recording right now, 3-0 Jays top five against the Colorado Rockies. We'll see if that holds for you, good listener, come Monday morning.
Yeah. Well, and I was on Saturday, I was doing a bunch of things. And so I don't often do this, but I PBR'd the Jays game. I had the Sens Habs game that night. So I really wanted to get everything in. But I was sort of at least two hours in. And I hadn't started the game yet. And so I'm like, okay, where do I want to go with this? After the absolute shit show that was Friday night.
Yeah.
I checked, you know, hey, blankety blank, what's the score of the Jays game? It's 5-1 Jays in the fifth. And I'm like, all right. I really wanted to check in to see what Rodriguez looked like.
Yeah.
That was the chief reason for me to, although not as good as Sportsnet would have us believe, but.
Well.
Yeah, he was fine.
First start in the majors?
Yeah, he was fine, right? And to me, his first inning looked like Gausman's on Friday night. Pretty good. Two strikeouts, and you're good to go.
Man,
and then
that Gausman Friday. Anyway, sorry, go ahead.
So I just was, and at 5-1, I'm like, okay, I'm interested to check this out. However, when I watched the game, and it was 5-0, Jays after one, I'm like, nah. How can you be so disappointed that your team is winning 5-0, but you know that there's shit, nothing coming for the next, well, as it turns out, 8 innings. And you go, yeah, your team's hit a grand slam in the first inning, and you should
and
be happy.
You've done nothing since.
You should be happy. Why you have to be mad? Because it's disappointing to watch this team perform. Am I right with that? Are you feeling that?
And I'm feeling...
And are you buying the... It's still early.
I'm wavering towards the side that says it's not that early. This isn't, what are they now, 15 games in, let's say?
15, 16 games.
They're not 15 games in. There are 177 games in. This is of last year's Blue Jays. And so I sort of get that. I am trying to be
patient.
To me, it's not disappointing as much as it's frustrating. I don't know if those are different enough to warrant trying to draw a line there. Because I do think there's a chance they're going to be okay. But I don't think there's a chance, like, they're winning the division. You know, Gausman is clearly wrestling with something. Berríos has been terrific. Bassett's been, you know, a couple of rough starts. It's a pretty good start. Kikuchi actually has looked really good. Bowden-Francis is not good enough to be in your rotation. I don't know if you've been keeping an eye on what Alek Manoah's done in his two starts down in...
Well, the last one, 4 earned runs and 3 1/3.
Yeah. It was better than the first one, but not good enough that suggests he's almost ready. So, and then, yeah, you look at the lineup and it's sort of... I don't know. You brought in 39-year-old Justin Turner and he's been clearly your best hitter. You got Alejandro Kirk, who... I know they're trying to sell the broadcast and a lot is he's being overused, and I have some time for that argument, but man, he can't hit at this point. He just cannot. And that's, I know he became very well known or very, you know, respected for being able to frame pitches in the low part of the zone, but his thing was always supposed to be his bat more than his defense, and it is absolutely not that now. So I don't know. To me, it's frustrating more than it is. I don't remember the term you used.
Well, I mean, you may have used frustrating. Mm-hmm. I may have used. Yeah, no, I think that fits
the
bill. I can't remember what I said.
Yeah.
I say a lot of things.
But if you take 2 or 3 from Colorado, that's the bare minimum. Well,
that team came in here batting collectively 190.
I understand, but every team wins. You know, 54 games. Every team loses 54 games.
Does every team that has 3 wins show up and put up 20 hits on you and score 12 runs?
Welcome to the dome.
How come we're not doing that? That's the thing. Yeah. You're like, what? Yeah. So to me, it is, you didn't, like, they're grinding away against the Rockies. They won 5-3 after getting beat down.
Yeah.
And they're up 3-0 now.
Took 2 of 3 from Seattle.
Should have swept.
Well, it's hard to sweep. Like, these teams are also trying to win.
I understand how sports work.
Okay.
But when you have that, honestly, bases are loaded, one out in the ninth, and you're like, we do this, we get a sweep, and you feel better. But when you...
That game, that Wednesday afternoon game against Seattle, man, that's tough. Because
it's
who
working,
is it that gets the hurt?
From
is, it,
the dome.
Is it Clement? Work from dome. I actually like that. I think that's,
it is,
I think that's clever.
It is a clever thing. It was Clement and Kirk, I believe. Those are the two guys.
With two out in the bottom of the ninth and
Clement,
men on.
Yeah.
And if that drops like a foot in any other direction,
it was a great play
you're
by Polanco.
Walking it off. Instead, Polanco grabs it. They get to come out and pound you in the top of the 10.
Five runs. How's it going, Meza?
Yeah, that's concerning as well. Sometimes baseball is cruel like that. You're up at that point. You'd have been up a game, like a game over 500, right?
Yeah.
But it drops where it does. The funniest part about that, and who knows what it's going to actually look like over 162 games. If you remember, I sat here a couple times over the winter going, I wonder if Polanco's a guy they might be able to grab out of Minnesota instead. Seattle does it. And they're the first time we see Seattle, he takes a win away from us. So
yeah,
that's just the way it goes sometimes. But that's baseball, right? You would have felt like, fucking right, we came home, swept them, we're a game over 500. Instead, you lose that game, you're a game under 500, you got whacked in the 10th inning, and everyone's grumpy again. And then Colorado comes in, and it that's the roller coaster.
And they put it on you.
Yeah.
And then you're like, seriously? Like, and they didn't even have Deadman in the lineup, and you're like, and you're just like, I don't know what's happening here. And they got some guy who I'd never heard of before.
Some guy.
Who's like 6'7", and he's pitching it from, like, honestly, he reaches out and he's almost slapping you when he releases the ball. And you're like, and just mowing him down. You're like, God.
Yeah.
It feels like.
Well, I can tell you this. Guys on the Colorado Rockies that you and I have never heard of are not hard to find.
Right.
Like. That whole roster is guys you've never heard of.
Yeah, but when there's 6'7" pitchers.
Except for you, Chris Bryant.
Who are
what
just
happened, man?
pitching it by you like nobody's business.
Yeah.
Those guys aren't easy to find. Although for the Jays, they seem to be.
They can find them.
Very easily found.
Yeah.
But one of the games, whether it was the first game against the Rockies, last game against the Mariners, whatever it was, where Turner wasn't in the lineup.
Yeah.
Man, the second half of that lineup is.
It's a little dry, man.
Thin.
It is.
When you're trying to dress up, whether it's Schneider or Clement, and you have
Kiermaier
and Varsho, and you're counting on Biggio being the guy in the five.
Grand
and how long?
Slam hitting Varsho.
Yeah, yeah.
Show some respect.
Back to back jacks, that guy. I get it. And I want to see that.
Yeah.
I want to see that type of Dalton Varsho.
Yeah.
If you can bring me, man, hit 230 and give me 30 dingers.
Mm-hmm.
I've got time for that. But how long can you count on Kevin Biggio to be your sort of somewhat proficient five hitter, right? I can only assume at this point he's got an 8 or a 9 game hitting streak after today. But
well, and defending pretty well too, right? Like,
yeah, well, he's
but like, that's where we're hanging our hat.
Yeah, and it is.
Yeah, it appears to be. Yeah.
And they, yeah, you watch that game on Saturday and you watched IKF at third, he made a couple of...
His D's been killer. The thing was always been his bat, obviously, is terrible. But as far as comparing him with Chapman defensively, it's the arm, right? He can get there. He can make a couple of sweet grabs on the hot corner. But getting it across the way Chapman did, that's the difference.
Yeah, and, yeah. I totally get it.
Yeah.
I kind of want a falafel.
A falafel?
That's
Isaiah Kiner falafel.
I kind of want a falafel.
Yeah.
That's kind of how it goes, man. It's stuck in my head.
Yeah.
So I don't really, this is going to sound callous and unfeeling.
Yeah.
I don't really care about Manoah and what happens down there. Like, to me, he's.
That's callous and unfeeling.
He's a forgotten guy for me. If we ever get him back, that's foul money, in my opinion. I'm way more interested in what Romano and Swanson do down there.
Yeah.
And if Jansen can get through another game today. If you go hitless and then a grand slam the next day and hitless and a grand slam, I'll be totally fine with that.
Well, I should point out once more to the listener, as you and I are talking, it's Sunday afternoon.
Yeah.
We don't know how all this has played out, but I know Romano was quoted several hours before the Sunday game as saying, I felt good. I'm ready to go, you know, without another start at, or not start, but another appearance at AAA. So we'll see what happens there. Jansen, you'd have to assume will be back in the lineup by Monday. The other two, we'll see how that's going to shake loose. I'm curious. You ever been to a Loony Dog night at the Dome?
I have not.
No.
But I got to say, I got to be down for six.
That's what I was going to ask you. A, are you having any?
Of course I am.
And if so, what do you think you got in you?
Seriously, probably three or four.
Yeah.
But
that's about where I'm at.
If they're a bucket now, dog, are you not just...
Give me a handful. Now, I think when you go up, I think they'll only give you only four at a time.
All right. And I could do four.
See, like if I had grabbed six and I have six with me, we can talk about it. I've had four. Am I going back and getting in line for more, right? Like, am I that motivated?
Okay,
for...
Matt, if it was beer.
Yeah.
I've had six. Should I go back for two more?
No, for sure. I should.
I am for going sure, back for two more. Now, $16 a can is prohibitive somewhat.
It sure is, man.
But you're not using that same. If it was a buck of beer.
Yeah.
And you're like.
Yeah.
I've bought four.
MJ's in Belleville Thursday night.
Should
I
go
a beer?
Should I go back for another four?
Should I or will I?
Yeah,
these are different questions.
You're not debating it, is what I'm really saying here. Is you're like, oh, sorry, sir. They're only they're an 8 ounce beer though. Well, no problems. To give me six, no four. We can only sell you four. Give me eight then. That's two fours.
I got my friend standing over.
Yeah, we're there. That guy, kid.
Yeah.
Over here, Jeremy. No, sir, he's not of age.
The other big item that they've unveiled, and I guess the reason I ask is, if you go on to, these are going to be here every single night. One of the big items that they have unveiled at the Dome this year, food-wise, is a maple bacon hot dog. I guess trying to play up that Canadian thing. And it's not going to be a buck. I don't know what the actual price is. It's
$12.50.
Probably. Are you, anything about that? On a Tuesday night where you have the option, you going to go grab four normal hot dogs, or are you going for the maple bacon dog?
No, I'm going for the three regular dogs.
And the one.
And that's the dessert dog. I'm taking the maple dog for my, that's the dessert one.
The thing that always concerns me, man, as we know, we've talked about this, the Dome, it's a fairly old building. They've done a bunch of renovations. One of the things they've talked about 100 times is, how could we get grass in there? But there's like a parking garage underneath. Like the drainage issues are a problem. Drainage is exactly what I think of on Loony Dog Night. Like what those bathrooms on the fifth deck look like at the end of Loony Dog Night.
Yeah,
that scares me a little, man.
To me, that's most of that is you're waiting for the GO Train bathrooms later. That's not
awful.
The problem with
that lower now, I haven't been to Union on the GO Train level since the renovations were finished, but that, oh my God, that men's room on the GO Train level.
No, I was actually talking about
Union
on the GO
stage,
Train.
Oh yeah. No, I know. Awful, man. Just awful.
See, and when I watch the games and you hear about 60,000 hot dogs consumed, what I think is
who's not pulling their weight.
Yeah.
There's 39,000 of you here tonight.
That's exactly right. That is, you're talking about 1.8 dog. Dan was breaking it down, right? The dogs per family.
Shai Davidi all last year was tweeting out the hot dog analytics,
yes,
right?
Like, so it was
dog
actually
per person.
Yeah, dogs per fan, DPF, the DPF. And so, yeah, Dan was reading out Shai's tweet. That's
okay,
what it was.
Okay.
So and so as somebody who was a Red Blacks and formerly a Renegade season ticket holder.
Yeah.
There was a guy who would roll in two down for me, and he'd pound four hot dogs. And then about by not even halftime, I'm smelling his burps. Cause, and we all know, you're like, it super smells like a hot dog.
Yeah, yeah.
But nobody's eating a hot dog.
Except that guy who's eating
several. But about 45 minutes ago, that guy ate it. And so now he's suffering. So that to me is, during game, that's where you're... It's not so much the drainage or the plumbing. Yeah. It's the
close quarters. Because, like you said, there's the beers with the hot dog.
Of course. Right. Yeah. Well, this guy also used to bring in he'd smuggle in a flask.
That a boy.
And he'd get a big pop, and then he would just he'd pour it right into the pop and put the lid. Like, he'd do it at his seat. Like,
shameless.
I'm shameless for sure, man. And he worked for the Ottawa Police Service, just for the record.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you're not getting a stall and just going, all right, I'm just going to. But nope, he just would pour it.
I'm out here.
He would also yell, 50-yard line, girl. Whenever the cheerleaders came out, he'd be yelling at her. And we're like, we were center field, but we're way up. She doesn't hear you, buddy.
No.
But he would wave every game.
All right.
That's the flask, man.
Yeah, for sure. She's going to love me. Is after who hasn't sipped a few out of a flask and go, she's
going
to
love
that girl
me.
Wants to talk to me.
That one for sure.
I knew somebody who went down to a Leaf game. At the time that Berkey was still running the place, they had a one stand called Berkey's Doghouse, and it was all like gourmet hot dogs. You could get like the grilled cheese hot dog, or you know, like the maple bacon hot dog, or whatever. They were all marked up like $15 a hot dog or whatever. But it was playing into the theme of Brian Burke or whatever. So I knew somebody who went out there. I'd always thought the idea was ridiculous. The price was ridiculous. Was with somebody that night and said, all right, let's go to Berkey's Doghouse. Went over, grabbed a poutine dog or whatever it might have been.
Yes.
And then walked over to, you know, those stands where you get your napkins or you can get mustard or ketchup.
Yeah, the dispensers or whatever else. Gross.
Yep. Thought they were pouring ketchup onto the dog.
Mm-hmm.
Actually doused it in layers and layers of hot sauce.
Nice.
And then couldn't eat it. Spent $15 on a hot dog that they couldn't eat because of the heat of it.
I do love a hot sauce, though.
This person did not.
You do not also have a high tolerance
not
for
at
hot
all.
Sauce,
no,
eh?
No,
I do love a... Now, if it's completely doused, yeah, I'm probably taking a hard pass on it as well. But...
Well, I had a buddy up to the cottage once for... And my dad loves hot anything, right? So he's got like a whole shelf in the fridge full of different hot mustards, hot sauces,
mustard is the best.
And so we were making breakfast, I think, the one morning, and a buddy of mine went looking for... No, it was my dad, went looking for his stash of hot stuff. And this was one of those ones where instead of like pouring it on, you put like a dab and stir it up.
Okay.
And he mixed it up, doused it. Had like 3 spoonfuls of his breakfast and had to go lay down for several hours. Now, the night before had also not been kind to his stomach.
Yeah.
And following it up with, like, is it something that you're supposed to put a dab on and stir in and instead you douse it like it's ketchup? Yeah, it was a bad scene, man. Speaking of drainage and plumbing problems.
It's a scene.
Where do you want to go here, man? We got the Coyotes. I don't know what the hell else we were going to talk about here today.
Colorado,
Winnipeg locked in. Why don't we do that? Because it seems like that's the shortest of the other two topics, and I'm getting low on my beer here.
Okay.
So we talked a couple of different times about what that central division was going to look like in the playoffs, because it's sort of like, and we've seen it before, like I referenced, back when Chicago, Nashville, and St. Louis were all really good. Or Boston, Toronto, Tampa were really good. And so someone's going to win that division and get an easy first round, and then you're going to have 2 very good teams play off in the 2-3 spot, and someone's going home early. And this year, look, we'll see how the rest of this shakes loose, but it looks to me, and certainly disagree if you want, I know you will, that this is the killer 2-3 out of the 4 that we're going to see.
Yeah, I would, if you compare it to Carolina and the Islanders,
right?
Not good.
Right.
You compare it to, as it sits right now, Edmonton and Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Not good. So it really comes down to the Winnipeg, Colorado, or the, as it sits right now, and I think it's pretty firmly going to be Florida, Toronto.
I don't think there's anything firm about it. Yesterday, for a minute, Florida got into first, and then Boston won and got it. So those two are still battling for first in the Atlantic Division.
Yeah. Well, 2 games apiece,
yeah.
I think, left. Yeah, right.
I'm with you. I think it's more likely than not that it'll be Florida-Toronto. But I don't think either of those teams are as good as Winnipeg and Colorado. Do you?
I think Florida.
Yeah.
I think Florida is good.
Yeah.
I really like what they have. I'm curious with what they have.
And it,
but they have enough of a track record to say.
Well, that's it. Like, is this one of those teams that is going to be able to, again, successfully go, okay, got that out of the way. Here's how we play playoff hockey, right? It's head banging and, you know, cheap shotting and cross checking.
Lots of cheap shotting.
Yeah.
Yep. I believe they can. I do.
I think you're probably right about that. I don't think it's as compelling as Winnipeg, Colorado.
No. I think you're right. I was just suggesting that.
That's the closest.
That is the closest series in terms of the 2-3s that we're looking at, right? And you know when you look at teams that are sort of riding high or skidding in?
Yep.
Man, Winnipeg hit a skid about 2 weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, right? They went 5 or 6 games.
They've had a couple of those. Remember, they were running the West for a while. And then
first half.
Yeah, and then fell off for a couple weeks and let everybody catch up and got hot again and then fell off a little again.
Right, and then now they are, you know, they've played Dallas and Colorado in succession, if not.
Yeah.
And combined 10-0, right, in terms of they seem to have flipped it around, got through that most recent hiccup. And it is a super compelling matchup because you look at – there's nobody up – Winnipeg is deep up front.
Yep.
But they don't have anybody as good as MacKinnon or probably Rantanen.
Right.
Winnipeg is, I think they're super deep on defense.
Yep.
But they don't have anybody as good as Cale Makar. You know what I mean?
No, like, you're right. Up front and on D, it's their top end in Colorado versus Winnipeg's depth.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you go to the goaltending, and you have Georgiev versus Hellebuck, and it's not even close.
Slam dunk.
Both those goalies are in the top three, if not one and two, in terms of shots faced, which is interesting.
That is wild, yeah.
How you have now? I think that goes more to the number of games played, right? Yeah. I think both those goalies are pretty heavily used
for sure.
So, but that being said. I'm not sure I don't pick Winnipeg to win that series.
Mm. Does it matter to you whether they're going to start on the road or start at home?
Doesn't matter to me.
Yeah.
I think to me the idea of I would almost prefer in a 2-3 matchup like that, I'd almost prefer to be on the road.
Yeah, you said that to me last year about Toronto too.
I still think Toronto's better.
I was
on
a little perplexed. But, well, this year there's tons of evidence to back you up on that.
Yeah, and there's no choice this year either.
Well, that too, yeah. I'm like, why does it matter to you in a 2-3, or like, why is it different to you in a 2-3 that you'd rather start on the road versus a 1-4?
Well, the 1-4, like if we use the whatever, pick your Flyers versus Rangers.
Yeah.
Like to me, I don't care if we go into Madison Square for the Flyers and we steal a game. It's probably, we're still getting pummeled. Probably.
Yeah.
Two evenly matched teams, I get the chance to go in and take one of the first two
mm-hmm.
in your barn. Hopefully it's the first one. Nothing saps the energy in a market like that.
Yeah.
So two evenly matched teams as the lower seed, even if it is by 2 points. I like the idea of being able to go in an era of generic arenas.
Yes.
Of just being able to go in and go snag. If nothing else, it's the bit of the momentum buzzkill.
Yeah, I get that. Because the old expression is also, you're not in trouble till you lose at home, right? So even if you do go in on the road and lose game one and maybe game two, like you don't feel concerned necessarily. Now, 2-0's a little different, obviously, but you still haven't had the chance to come home yet. Whereas, as you say, if I come into your building on game one and beat you up, that changes your perspective completely. You are now in trouble. You've lost right away. So I guess I get that. And
for a team like the Leafs, we'll just double over just for a second.
They're going to double over.
It is keel. But no, just the idea of with the pressure, no matter if they're the third seed, it doesn't matter. There's a lot of pressure in that market.
Sure.
Go on the road, man. Win one of two in Florida. You come home and everybody feels better. That is all I
saw. Well, I said to you last year, I've told the story on the podcast a couple times. I watched game one I was down there to visit with my parents. Game one, Toronto, Tampa. And all year, it had been nothing, but nothing matters to the playoffs. They're just zombies walking through this. Get to what? And in game one, I think it was 7-2 they lost. They got smashed. And I was seething.
Apoplectic.
Just quietly sitting there. Don't talk to me. Yeah. Don't. I'm
Were you loving watching the
furious.
Game with your parents?
And they're you know, they're fans. They're pissed too, but not to the same, like, I am just in my own world of, like, hating everything that's happening right now. And so, yeah, if that had happened on the road, you're still pissed, but you're like, well, we'll come home for game three, or heaven forbid, like, the other way around. We had done it to Tampa in Tampa for game one. Like, your point is well made. Now, Toronto, it's not a perfect example because Toronto came back and won that series. That is a thing, apparently, that they're capable of doing from time to time. Oh. Time to time being every 15, 20 years or so.
20 years, man. That's okay.
Okay.
Let's try to sneak
appreciate
in that.
Try to sneak clear in that,
that 15, every 12 or 15, 20 years. How do you feel sitting there and people asking you questions? People with, maybe not your parents. Let's just take them out of
no.
the quick. But you're watching.
Because they know me well enough in that moment to go, oh, I see. He's doing his loser thing again. And that's not incorrect.
But
so they don't bother trying
so
to
you're,
make
you're in your head. You're grappling as somebody who is completely invested for 365 days a year.
I tolerated for 82 games the nothing matters till the playoffs in game one.
And then they're asking you
smash
things like, why does Nylander do that thing when you wait? I hate when that guy does. And you're like.
So this happens always on game seven day. People I haven't spoken to since college. People I know don't care at all. And they'll text me like, big game today. Like, is it? Text him midway through the second when, you know, it's either tight or maybe you're getting wrecked. More likely the second if you're a Leaf fan. I can't believe this is happening. Yeah, can't you? Yeah. This is the first game you've watched all year. You decided to text me right now. You think I might want to make some small talk about it.
Yeah.
Leave me alone.
Yeah, and that's all.
And that's a me thing. I'm not.
No, it's not just a you thing. I think there's lots of people who watch on the regular and then I go, why do I have to explain this to you?
Right.
I don't want to explain this to you.
Somebody who I, like, love dearly, but does not watch hockey at all. Anytime there's a big, you know, Canada and a gold medal game somewhere, Leafs game seven somewhere, is always going to want to, like, so I don't know who, like, halfway through the first, like, who should I be looking for tonight? Or, like, are they expected to win tonight? Like, I'm not answering you. We're not friends right now. Like, this is... You have picked the worst moment to text.
You should be
me.
Watching the one in the matching pants and skates. Super handsome. They look way better when they don't have their hats on.
Avalanche and Jets. I think to me, this is one of those ones, like we've talked about before, when it was Toronto-Boston or Toronto-Tampa. I understand I have a bias, and so there are people saying right now there have been others of these. Those are the ones that come to mind to me where you go... That's not two teams that should have to face each other in the first round.
Right.
And I look at Winnipeg and Colorado this year and go, man, like, these are two teams who probably deserved a little bit better when it was set up, right? When these brackets were designed or these rules were designed. Now, I'm with you. Winnipeg's depth, to me, is really interesting. And that's one of the things that makes McKinnon's MVP case so compelling is they're not that deep up front anymore, right? Since Kadri left, I remember talking Lever when he was in here right around trade deadline. They brought in Casey Mittelstadt for Bowen Byram.
Yep.
And I remember going, I like that trade for both of these teams, but they can't possibly be expecting Mittelstadt to be the number two, right? There must be something else coming. And we both agreed there was nothing else coming though. Like that's what they're running with. And so that makes McKinnon's case there very compelling to me, but what Winnipeg has up and down their lineup, as you pointed out, nobody touches McKinnon or Rantanen or Makar, but they're going to come in waves, right? Like they're going to be a deeper set. And we saw Colorado susceptible to that last year, even against Seattle.
Right. If you look at, once you get past McKinnon and Rantanen, do the Avalanche have anybody as good as Scheifele, Connors, even Monahan, Toffoli, Ehlers?
Right.
all the way down, right? In terms of, and then you,
okay, Velarde came in and he's been very good for them.
Lowry, like
these are playoff guys
for sure. And so when you look at that depth and you go, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
And in terms of what you would like to see for a long playoff run, I just.
So you don't care. I mean, you care, but your prediction for that series won't be based on who's got home ice.
It will not.
No.
And I care more about it than I do about Alek Manoah.
Yeah. I'm getting that.
Just for the record. Yes. I wish him well. And yeah. I hope he comes back as a Cy Young candidate again. Sure. I just don't
see it. But don't come back until you're that.
100%, man. 100%. Yeah. This to me comes down to.
So are you picking Winnipeg? Like that's as we sit here right now, that's the only series that's locked in so far.
I'm picking Winnipeg.
Yeah.
If you were to hold me down and
hold me back, Loops.
And make me pick.
Yeah.
I'm gonna take A again, better goalie.
Hellebuck for sure.
And if he's
you're talking me into it a little.
Oh, you were the other way.
I was. McKinnon has been so good, and Rantanen has been, and they have a lot. We haven't mentioned yet Devin Taves, right? And what he's capable of. Like, they have other pieces other than those big three, but I do agree that the depth in Winnipeg is better. And you get into a long series like that. Like we've pointed this out a couple times. I thought the Monahan trade was a mistake for a first round pick,
yeah.
And at the top, he scored like 8 goals in their first 13 games that he was there, something like that.
Yeah,
I don't know what he's up to now in terms of there versus Montreal, but he's like a 27-goal guy now. Like,
yeah.
Man.
Well, and to me, the addition of Toffoli,
that's a great trade.
For sure it is. And you just sort of go, you've essentially created yourself a second line.
Yep. And you already had one.
Yeah.
So good for you.
Look at you guys. Some of us still don't have one. And so that's awesome. And yeah. so the thing you were missing that Colorado did add after was Sean Walker. Don't overlook Sean Walker, sure. Right? That was a...
They did not add another number two center.
They though. Did not. They did not. But they're not growing on trees. Just anywhere. Pluck.
True. Pluck.
Pluck. Yes. That's what...
Okay.
Pluck.
Right off the tree, man. Come on, pluck.
I get it.
I know you do. So, to me, with the better goalie...
Yeah.
And I don't want to give short shrift to our man, Georgiev.
It's okay. You can do it.
Yeah. I'm going to totally do it.
Yeah.
I like building out from there.
Yep.
And you sort of go, now we'll see, because the flip side is Colorado has the better power play.
Oh, yeah. And they do have those pieces. If all those guys go to the next level at once, they may just roll, right? Like they are good enough. They are experienced enough. But you're selling me a little on the Jets here.
That's what I'm here to do.
Now, I think no matter which one of them's coming out of there is getting rolled by Dallas, but...
I don't know, man.
I like Dallas a lot.
I like Dallas a lot, too. Yeah. To me, Dallas is the team I'm picking to win the West, but
yeah.
I don't think it's a... I don't think it's a slam dunk.
Okay.
We'll see what happens there.
We'll have time to get to... We're already making second-round predictions.
Exactly. Let's see what happens in the first round.
Let's see who gets into the playoffs and plays in the first round.
But I would not be surprised to see McKinnon put up 12 points in the first round.
Yeah.
And you're out, Winnipeg.
Don't you get it, Springfield?
Yeah.
You lose.
You soon to be the Quebec Jets.
Okay. We'll take a break here.
They're looking for a team, and you can't support your team, and...
Maybe you can be like Tampa and Montreal, and you can split seasons together. Wouldn't that be fun?
Yes, I love it, Matt. Collaborative Matt. That's what we always say.
I'm about that. Yeah.
I'm all about that
collaborating. I'm going to go and look for a second beer to collaborate with the first one we just finished here. We'll take a quick break. Be back in a second.
Look, are we going or not?
Just go without us. We'll be there in 5 minutes.
Really? Yes! All right, going out to the bar, I'm ordering 3 beers. I'll see you guys in 5 minutes. 3 beers, 5 minutes.
Let's talk about the Arizona Coyotes, or at least as they are being currently referred to as. All reports suggest that the players were told at the end of last week, you're moving to Utah. Or at least the 7 of you who are under contract are moving to Utah.
And you'll become, and I'll steal this from John Rodenberg, you'll become the Salt Lake City Sister Wives.
We were having a good laugh talking the other day.
Sister, what? Uncomfortable with just about every element of that.
But I didn't say it.
No.
I just repeated what
Take
somebody
that,
else
JR.
Said.
JR. Yeah, I think we were joking a little bit that attendance won't be a problem. You just invite 12 or 15 guys and tell them to bring all their wives and
see
full building, man. It's going to be no problem. Look, this has been a disaster basically since Jump Street. They were playing at America West Arena when they first moved downtown there with the Phoenix Suns, the old building. The Suns get a new building and they're like, yeah, no, not you, you ugly stepchild. You're not coming with us. How about you move out to Scottsdale? This is like Phoenix is Canada.
Yeah.
And
even further. It's like Phoenix's Carlton Place.
It's like Phoenix's Kingston.
Yeah.
So it never worked. And they decide, look, we didn't pay our bills at the arena, so they evicted us out in Scottsdale. We're gonna move into the university rink.
The Moulé.
And we're going to hang out there for 3, maybe 4 years while we get our arena situation figured out. So we're 2 years into that. Nothing's been figured out. They don't even have a piece of land yet. There is a piece of land they're going to be involved in bidding on.
That they may have a crack at.
Right. At the end of June, the NHL finally decided, yeah, we don't think we should wait a whole lot longer. And they got this guy, Ryan Smith, in Utah, who owns the Utah Jazz.
Talking about the mullet, Ryan Smith. Great mullet. Different Ryan Smith.
Maybe not the same Ryan Smith, yeah. I saw a great tweet, and you can kick this around in your own head, but can we try and make sure that the new NHL team in Utah has something as like locally inappropriate as the Jazz does in the NBA?
Yes, of course.
For people who are unfamiliar, it used to be the New Orleans Jazz. Which made some sense. They moved to Utah, didn't bother to change the name, and now it's the Utah Jazz. Jazz not that big in Utah.
How about the Los Angeles Lakers?
Yeah, also coming from the land of 1,000 lakes in Minnesota.
Correct.
Go, the Lakers will be fine. We'll just keep that. Now, it does sound like the current ownership group, Alex Morello, he's going to maintain the name, the Coyotes, so that within 5 years, he can
Rich
have an
history.
We'll get to that. So there will be a new name when they move to Salt Lake City. The Coyotes play their last game on Wednesday. It sounds like those who want to go, I don't think they could force anyone to go, will then be invited to Utah on Thursday to see the facilities, see the city, and kind of get a feel for what they'll be looking for. And it sounds like Ryan Smith, the new owner, wants a chance to address the team himself, right? Like they've been playing under, as we've described here, less than ideal circumstances. It sounds like he wants to put a good foot forward. He wants unrestricted free agents or guys who may not be sure about whether they want to do this or not. He wants them to have a better feeling for him, for the city, for the organization, for the venue, these sorts of things. I don't know where you want to start on this, man. We've been talking about this for a very long time, that the Coyotes have been an embarrassment. And I guess even Gary had a shame limit and had to go, yeah, you know what? We're going to give you some time to try and get a building, but we're not staying here any longer. And that did appear to be the straw that broke the back, right? I said they're supposed to be at Mullet Arena for 3, maybe 4 years. They're already 2 in and haven't started building a new arena. So there's going to be at least 1, maybe 2 more years at Mullet. And that appears to be what was like, we can't keep doing
And that's
this.
If they win the bid
yes.
in June.
Yeah.
So if they don't win the bid in June.
And by then, by the end of June, there's no time to do the Utah thing.
Right.
Do the Utah thing.
So this has got the smacks of Atlanta to Winnipeg.
Yeah.
It's like, guess what? We're moving.
Buckle up, Winnipeg.
So it was interesting to hear that the NHL has bought
yes.
for $1 billion,
yep.
have bought the Coyotes from the Morillos,
yep.
but is turning around and selling it to Ryan Smith.
Yeah, Ryan Smith is not buying directly from the Morillos. This is a
for $1.2 billion.
Yep.
Where do I get, like, flipping houses? I understand flipping houses is a big deal, right? But don't you normally have to
So they're
put in a new kitchen, or
their explanation, their reasoning is that there is a relocation fee that has happened before. When teams move, you pay the league. Now, normally it's because you're moving into someone else's market. To my knowledge, there is no one else in Utah that you are
encroaching on. Upon.
Yeah. But that's the reason is Alex Morello gets to sell it for $1 billion. To the NHL, more than what the Sens were worth, because they weren't going to allow anything to come in under that, right? We want to keep that number moving up.
That 950, that,
yeah, so, and then the Morello purchase from the league will be the $1 billion for the team, and then $200 million that will be spread across the other franchises.
Well, and little known fact that the Morello family, that's the brother of Tom Morello from Rage Against the Machine.
Sure, yeah. The Utah Rage.
Yes.
I'd watch that team.
Of course you would. There's a couple things here, and they're sort of abstract, which is the way my brain works. Look at you. The thing is, first and foremost, Salt Lake City, I believe, has a higher altitude than Denver. Like, I believe it will become the highest altitude in the NHL.
Okay.
Super abstract. I get it. But the, also, by far...
That's why you people listen to this show.
Yeah, by far the smallest metro population. Like, they come in at about 250,000.
No.
Yes. 265, something like that. The state of Utah has 3 million people in it. The entire state.
I think Greater Salt Lake is like 1.2 or...
Hey Siri, what's the population of Salt Lake City?
As of 2020, the population of Salt Lake City was 199,000.
Whoa! There you go. Rob's bringing it.
So this becomes a huge, just...
It's like the Pickering.
100%, man. This is the dirty schwa. You're talking about...
Do it. Do it.
It is just so small, right? In terms of when you get Provo and whatever else, Provo, Utah, sorry, it's not far from Salt Lake City.
Yeah.
Like,
this is kind of like the triangle when Carolina moved, right? Raleigh-Durham.
You are looking to draw from a much larger area.
That's why it sounds like this will absolutely be named the Utah something as opposed to the Salt Lakes. That worked really well for the Arizona Coyotes as opposed to the Phoenix Coyotes.
Yeah, yeah. But as you suggested, that they've always gone down that road.
Yep.
Utah Jazz.
Yep.
So to me, it is super small. The other thing is, so drawing free agents to a state that is 62% Latter-day Saint Mormon populated. I was actually asking, do they sell liquor in Salt Lake City?
Did you see the Mendez piece last week?
No, I did not, but I was...
So he wrote in The Athletic, he went to Salt Lake City to visit Ryan Smith before all this happened. He knew Ryan Smith was making noise, right, wanting a team, but we didn't yet know that this was... so imminent.
Putting out, news releases at the same time as the...
We are encouraging the NHL to open the expansion franchise. Yes. And then last week, before all this news broke, I think it was like Monday, Ryan Smith tweets, hey, if we got a team, what would you guys want to see it called? Just, out of curiosity, just by chance.
We'd like to call it the Utah Balsillies. Oh, no.
But Ian, in his piece, is talking to Ryan Smith, and there's like three different times that the people that Ian is interviewing mention, and we have beer now. Like, it's going to be okay. Like that has to be a selling point for getting it, and it probably does.
Of course.
Whether it be hockey fans or hockey players. And, like, because when you talk to people who covered the O2 Olympics in Salt Lake, they said even then, it was hard, like, to find a beer, to find a bar on a Sunday after the...
Cross state lines. You had to, a lot of cases, you had to bring in liquor with you.
Right. And they said, no, it's better than that now. It's easy. And there was just something about Ian's story that made me laugh. That was like, look, we promise there'll be enough beer. Like, just bring us the team.
We got Michelob Ultra, Ian. Don't worry about it. We're good to go. Not just but we do still have the 0%.
Right. Oh, they have something. What do they call it? Dirty soda? I think he called it in his piece, where you go to like these drive-through places, and instead of like beer or booze, it's like Coke with coconut or Sprite with what... non-alcoholic, but like this is one market where we're going to try and sell some weird shit because people aren't drinking booze. I'm pretty sure it was called Dirty Soda.
Hey, no, I'm not. I have no idea. Yeah. So I'm not disputing in any way. I'm just.
I could try some Dirty Soda.
That's a Dirty Soda. Yeah.
Oh, you're a dirty soda.
Dirty soda. And I'm thinking, I want some Dirty Soda. But that's not what I think of when I think of a Dirty Soda.
Nope.
It involves a booty chug.
That's going to be a Dirty Soda. Oh, no.
The things you didn't think you'd hear on the show today.
You people are gross.
The booty chugs. The Utah booty chugs. How about that?
I want that hat. And if they don't do it, I'll do it.
It's right there with the Cox hat. University of South Carolina. Go Cox.
Yeah.
Go. No. Yeah. So the other thing was this hue and cry of, wow, you're going to take us to Salt Lake City? We want to stay in Arizona. You're like, nobody has ever said that. They don't draw. Free agents don't go there.
No.
And they're like, well, Arizona.
Any with a choice.
Yeah, maybe Arizona wasn't on my no trade list, but Salt Lake City certainly would. Yeah. And you're like, get out of here with that.
Yeah.
It's not like Phoenix has become the Vegas or the Nashville of free agency.
Yeah. And the other thing, people making that ridiculous complaint about the no trade clause, you get to resubmit it every year. So how about you just chill out in the summer, go, I don't want to go to Salt Lake or whatever. So it's garbage.
The idea that, guess what? I make millions of dollars a year and you have 5 months notice to sell your house in the Valley of the Sun.
And I'm not sure I'm exaggerating. I think they only have 7 players under contract.
Sure have very few. It's low, the number of actual contracts moving forward.
Right. So now I certainly understand and empathize with your arena workers, right? With your office people. Now, a lot of them are going to get to keep their jobs because this guy thinks he's going to build an arena and bring the thing back. And that's something else I want to touch on in a second. But it sounds like hockey operations is moving to Utah. The business side is going to stay, help execute the bid. To get a building built, Gary, apparently as part of a lot of this has had to tiptoe around this guy because they want this done and the team moved. And so if Alex Morello decides, I'm unhappy with how this is going, he can file an injunction. He can take them to court and slow it all down. So they're sort of stuck working with him.
Alex Morello bought that team for.
Oh, he's tripled his value.
Just got $1 billion for a shite franchise.
Right. So he's gonna let it go, I think. But they don't want to end up in court with him. They want this. So they're stuck a little with giving him we want to come back within 5 years and you'll be the guy. Go get the building built, all these sorts of things. It sounds like the AHL team, the Tucson Roadrunners, will move to Mullet Arena because they made promises to Arizona State University, who let them put in facilities and build on their property, that we're going to be there for 2 years or a year or two or whatever. So they're going to have to. It sounds silly, but while we're screwing over the fans of Phoenix who liked the Coyotes, we're also going to screw the fans of Tucson who liked the Roadrunners. Your team's gone too. They're going to go to Phoenix. There's a lot going on here, man. And a big part of it for me is this guy and this franchise has been a disaster since long before him. But we go back 2 years. Katie Strang is doing reporting on the environment inside that organization. That's under him. That's under Gutierrez, who is the team president. He didn't do anything to clean that up or fix that. We've got the player they drafted that turned out to have a horrible history of
the North Dakota signee. Yep.
Yeah. Everything about this franchise has been mismanaged. Didn't pay his bills. There are hotels, NHL hotels, who banded together, contacted the league and said, this one of your franchises can't stay on credit card anymore. They'll pay up front because the Coyotes weren't paying their bills when they went to Minnesota or Chicago or whatever. This is a disaster franchise. And there's, I understand, like I just said, they have to kind of massage this guy's ego a little bit so he doesn't tie them up in court. But if you are set on going back to Arizona in 5 years, man, to be tied to that guy, to want to immediately open back up that name, the Coyotes, like everything that's been unsuccessful, you're ready to just run screaming right back into in 5 years. I don't get that.
It's the absolute lure of the fourth largest TV market.
But in theory, then you'll find someone else to own a team there.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, you're talking
strictly, I'm talking about the guy.
Strictly on ownership.
Yeah.
Not on the viability of the city. Or
if you get an arena built there, sure, I could see it. Guys wanting to live in the South, with the golf lifestyle, like everything that goes into living down there, I think it could be not quite to the same level, but it could be a Vegas.
Come on,
right?
Anybody who's watched Breaking Bad, you got to love Albuquerque. That's New Mexico. Sorry. Totally different state.
Sure, let's drop the Coyotes in there. Yeah, let's give that a shot.
No, sorry, man. That's just like...
But it just feels like, yeah, if you had done this correct, and as you point out, huge media market, huge population. I'm not sure they have the water to spare to keep flooding rinks 40 times.
Yeah, but neither does Colorado. So if we're going to start clamping down on this, yeah, then...
True enough. Although at least Colorado's at the top of the river. They're only screwing over everyone else, not themselves.
Right. But, well, let's grow soybeans here.
Sure.
Cranberries maybe too.
It just feels like if you're done, like if you finally got to this point where you have to leave and the only way out is to be like, but we promised to come back and we promised to let you do it again. Feels gross. And I would want to name the team something else if I come back. The Coyotes have been a disaster.
Desert Dogs.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
And I'm, how about the Mesquites?
The Kachinas.
The Fajitas. Okay. The Kachinas. Yes, that pattern that they had on the...
On the jersey.
I get it. Yeah. I get it. How about the Mesa Plata?
Sure.
How about they have a guy playing for Colorado, Elias Diaz? Buenos dias, Elias Diaz. Anyways, that's just...
Is that a real thing?
Yeah, the guy's name is Elias Diaz.
Okay. He's probably Swiss.
Yes, I bet you he's an Italian.
No, remember there was a... What was his name? Guy played for Montreal for a long time, a Swiss guy with last name Diaz. Rafael Diaz?
Rafi Diaz.
Yeah.
Matt.
Yeah.
Good call. Yeah, don't care.
No. I remember looking at going, you're not a Diaz.
Yeah, exactly.
You appear to be European.
Yes. No.
Okay.
Not by that name.
No.
So to me, there is, you walk away from Phoenix.
Don't walk away in anger.
Yeah, absolutely. Hulk music playing. Sad walking away
sad
music.
Sad walking away music.
And you end up, but I have no idea what's going to happen. And are free agents flocking to Salt Lake City?
Well, I don't know if free agents will, but maybe for the 10 or 12 Coyotes fans that do still exist out there, maybe the most frustrating part is they have 20 picks over the next 3 years in the first three rounds.
Yeah. Yeah.
This team has bottomed out forever. Now they're going to move to Utah with all those picks. Some good, like, a Logan Cooley already in the system. Yep. I saw a great, great tweet the other day that was like, if I had a nickel for every time a team was moved out of its market in the first year of a member of the Doan family's career, I'd only have two nickels, but it's still pretty weird. For people who don't know, Shane Doan's kid, Josh Doan, broke in there with the Coyotes this year. So,
which is what I thought they should call the new team.
The Doans?
The Salt Lake City Doans.
Sure. The donors, anyway.
Yeah.
I look at that and the team, maybe...
Isotopes.
Love it. When you look at what is happening there and what they're about to get, everyone looks at Vegas and went, wow, man, look, they got all these... and went to the cup final. Seattle did okay, not as good. Like, GMs got smartened up to this a little bit, even with the better rules for the expansion team. And so now... I know Ryan Smith had been saying all the right things about getting an expansion team for Utah. He's essentially got it, but already with 20, like I said, top three round picks over the next 3 years, already with a Logan Cooley, already with a Josh Doan.
Already with a Connor Ingram.
Sure, yeah. Like, getting a decent setup, and honestly, with no cap liability, because
yep,
they don't want to do that. And he's got money to spend. Like, you could trade
five or eight of those 20 top three-round picks here.
Yeah, yeah.
You have room under the cap to do some things in free agency. I haven't looked at what this year's free agency class looks like. But I think if I was an Arizona fan, the most frustrating part would be if I believed in this ownership group at all, we're in a great position right
just
now.
Just about to pop.
And someone else is going to get to do that now, and we'll get the expansion team in 5 years without the Logan Cooley.
Because they absolutely had, hey, we're going to strip this down.
Yeah.
We've been penalized. We're doing all this thing. And we hopefully, to me, I was hoping Andre Tournier would be outspoken enough to get fired and maybe Ottawa could select it. I think he's a great coach.
Bring him back to town.
Bring him back to town. But
yeah,
seems like they want to bring everybody over.
Well, we'll see how much power any of those guys have, right? Like if you're a player who plays for Arizona right now, and I have very little sympathy for the player. Like, if you went to Arizona thinking,
yeah,
this is stable, we'll be okay.
Honestly, Marian Hossa and Datsuk okay, and Pronger.
Not quite those guys.
All those guys.
Who never stepped foot in the
putting
state.
Down roots.
Yeah, no.
Like, guys have ended up there. And
but, like, Alex Kerfoot signed a longer-term deal there. Or, well, Dumba got traded at the deadline. Like, I just have a hard time having any sympathy for a player who went there or an agent who said, yeah, things are fine. Like, this has been a disaster for a long time. I have sympathy for the guy who sells tickets, right? Or the guy who is working in the front office whose future is now uncertain. But if you went down there and just said, yeah, this is one of these places that I'm not even sure I'm still in the league.
Right. It's a last
right.
choice or last ditch.
Matt Dumba.
Yeah, but all these things.
So, he got traded, I understand. But
I am not, like you, I am not putting any faith in the outrage or the
no.
or the absolute disappointment that you're like, no, I've waited my whole career.
I couldn't see this coming.
I've waited my entire career to get to Arizona.
Yeah.
Now I'm finally a Coyote. And we're moving.
Yeah.
But I don't also believe that Salt Lake City will be a
resounding success. Now it is apparently
highly sought after.
It's apparently the new Silicon Valley. There's all kinds of tech startup. It is the fastest growing economy in the U.S.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know if it's going to be successful either. I don't think it's going to be less successful than Arizona was. And
but to me, do you hear Utah, the Jazz being that one of those destinations where you're like, yeah, man, we can't wait to get there.
No.
Right. So if and I'm using it as a non-Canadian because it's easy to pick on the Canadian.
They've had success, right? The Jazz has had success at times, but usually drafted and developed. And yeah, it's. I don't think it's going to be an easy place to get free agents to go. But this is a guy they clearly wanted in the league as an owner,
who's got money
and who did all the right things the way they want it done. And this is the like you go back to the All-Star game and Gary's saying, I am reasonably confident that Arizona. Well, that's his. He told you then this is done because he used to be staunchly in the corner of Arizona. This will happen. It's gonna be. He's like, well, I'm reasonably okay. Well, now we're seeing. And then all of a sudden, like I said, just this week, Ryan Smith. What would you name the team if we got a team? Like he's got permission to do that. This has been out there for a while. It's been telegraphed and.
How about we call it the Running Utes? Can we, the Utes? The Utes.
The Utes.
That's a indigenous tribe.
Yeah.
So they've frowned
probably
upon that.
Won't use that.
Yeah.
Although the Blackhawks are still running strong.
Chiefs, Blackhawks.
Yeah.
But yeah, probably no.
Probably not.
Probably no to the Utes, but.
I think they're calling it Silicon Slope.
Oh.
Right, because it's the mountains. No,
Slope?
Side of the mountain.
Okay, I
understand what a slope
is. I certainly do, but I'm hoping that's not what they go with.
No, I'm not saying it will, but they're calling the area
Silicon Slope
as opposed to Silicon Valley.
Okay, yeah, I was still sticking with the team name.
No.
That's a terrible name. Don't do that.
And I guess there'll be some work to be done to the Delta Center where the Jazz play and the NHL team will have to move in there for a bit. But they've already gotten the go-ahead from City Council to build an arena. The Olympics are going to be there in...
Yeah.
In 2032. So there's some things working in their favor, right? We'll see what this all looks like. But you and I have talked about this before, man. When you talk about Bettman's legacy, you look across the South, Tampa and Florida, been successful. Carolina, Nashville, successful. Dallas, successful. I understand not all of these happened directly under his watch, but he's helped facilitate. LA, Anaheim, yep. San Jose, successful.
Vegas.
Vegas, for sure, successful. If you'd adjust Colorado, like, not that different than Utah, really. Like, the culture's a little different.
I was going to say, not that south, but...
Right. But when you look at how this is all played out, if Gary would have just cut bait the first time, or the second time, or the fourth time that this was a disaster, you'd go, that guy's legacy looks a whole lot different. Everything he's built across the South has worked. Atlanta, I guess, didn't work all that well.
But they're coming back.
We'll give another shot. Yeah, sure. But you know what I'm saying? Like, overwhelmingly, that it's gotten them the footprint they need in the U.S. for bigger TV deals, and he just won't let this one die, and now he has. So I guess credit to him, but it just seems like they ran out of options.
Yeah. Well, to me, you've rubbed up against it big time.
Like in a mosh pit.
Yeah.
Or
a dry grind,
bar,
whatever.
Yeah.
It's
dry ground up against it.
It is. If we could do that again with a different ownership group, I think that's not getting.
It's been like six different ownership groups.
No.
Somebody build a fucking building.
Could you all combine? Could we get the best?
Jesus.
Where's Lorne Kulis?
The guy who tried to sell to Balsillie owned like a moving van company. Like, that's the guy running your professional Moise. Daryl Moise. Daniel Moise. Jerry Moise, maybe.
No, anyways.
It's in the...
We're close to
it. He's just a moving van guy. Like, this isn't going to work. Someone has to have the money to build this fucking thing.
Yeah.
And they never did it.
Yeah.
They never got it done. And apparently they didn't bother paying their hotel bills either.
And anybody named Chuck or Jerry,
hey, Jerry.
Or Barry.
Hey, Jerry.
Or, you know, Charlie. None of those guys.
I don't trust anyone named Charlie.
You are not serious in any capacity.
Otherwise, you'd be going by Chuck.
Oh, for sure, man. Charles.
Yeah,
sorry,
Charles.
Man. Charles. It's not.
Don't call me Charlie.
Charlie's a rescue dog.
Not a real smart one.
That's just what we're saying.
All right. Anything else on the Coyotes soon to be?
Are you happy with what you've done here today, Matt? Do you feel proud?
Oh, no. Those are two different questions. Am I happy with what we've produced? Yes. Am I proud? No.
Perfect. I think that's the exclamation point on today's show.
Lots of good stuff to come. We still got...
To come.
Like 150 games of Blue Jays disappointment. Stanley Cup playoffs will start next weekend. We'll be able to get into...
So excited.
All of that stuff next week. I don't know. We'll see what else is coming. Lever back in here on Thursday morning.
Matt's pumping that up, selling it right here.
Did I lack enthusiasm there?
It was 180 degrees from your smugness of the other. And Lee's back in here.
Well, at that point, someone else will carry the smugness. So
it's true. It's true. Matt looks 50% less smug with Lee in the room.
It's true, Matt.
It is true.
That's where we'll wrap this one up. Hope you all enjoyed it. I know I did, so really I don't care all that much.
I also enjoyed it.
Right.
Good beers.
Yeah. Mediocre opinions.
Yeah.
All right.
Sorry, man. I had more, but then I thought
it faded away.
I didn't really.
All right. That's where we'll wrap this one up. Make sure you're following along on social media at TallCanAudio, and make sure you are subscribed to the podcast wherever you're hearing us right now. Happy birthday to LSG, and let's go Eugenies. See you next time.
Boo!
I am unhappy with the confusing and at times confrontational nature of that meeting. I wanted it to go better.